Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team sucks.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
40 seconds and counting left in the second quarter. Problems persist for this Patriots defense after a positive step last week against Houston. The Jaguars and their fans looking forward to this game since January. They're going to savor every last second as the team spill off the sideline and the clock counts down from 12, 11, 10. Bill Belichick takes the hand of Doug Marone, who has led Jacksonville to its first 2-0 start since 2006.
Again, Bob Soucy at the wake yesterday in Jacksonville. Good guy. Bob, it's just a game. It's just one. And I'd say the same thing to the Patriots. No need using your mind. Like, and I'm not just doing this now because we're talking about the Gordon thing. I said it off the top. I said it yesterday. I think there's some extenuating circumstances with that loss for the Patriots. I don't think they fired all their guns. I think they sort of, I don't want to say scheduled loss, but it's sort of one of those games where they treat it as an extension of training camp. That stupid cliche, but I was true yesterday. I mean, don't you think that one of their priorities in the first half was getting Sony Michel going? I mean, if your priority is winning the game or picking up a first down, you're not handing it off to Sony Michel on 3rd and 5.
No, definitely not.
Or 3rd and 1, or then passing to him on 3rd.
I'm shocked on that play.
It was like 3 possessions in the first half. 3rd and short, they go to Sony Michel. It feels to me that's more about Sony Michel than it is about the team, which is fine. You know, you got to get that guy going. And so they're trying to get him going. But it was like, if that's a playoff game or a late season game that you got to have, are you calling those plays? Rob Gronkowski had 4 targets, 2 catches. They didn't throw to him once down the seam. He had one-on-one coverage on plenty of snaps, some of which Brady saw. I mean, as we just looked over those plays in the third quarter again, where Ramsey's one-on-one with Gronkowski. Brady looks at him, sees him, and goes the other way up top to Philip Dorsett.
Absolutely.
You're telling me you got to have it? Playoff game, late season game, Brady's going to Philip Dorsett deep over Rob Gronkowski one-on-one against anybody? So I think they were trying to preserve the big fella a little bit yesterday. And so they didn't fire all their guns. I also think, as I'll say again, Jacksonville played out of their boobs. Blake Bortles played out of his mind. They were bawling in the first half. They played excellent. And then in the second, Jacksonville tried to give it away and you couldn't take advantage. But they built that lead on some incredible play where your defense was there. Jacksonville made the play and you didn't. And then it all sort of fell apart and your defense went to crap. Fair enough. But the lead was forged, a 14-0 lead. Those were all great plays by Jacksonville, I think. And so, I don't know. I wouldn't panic if I'm that loss. If, you know, that loss, that's sort of one of those. We see one of the two of those every year from the Patriots, and there it was. So I'm not overreacting to that loss. I hope it's not a factor in them going out and getting Josh Gordon, if that's what's happening here.
So to me, again, I picked Jacksonville going into the game. I expected the Patriots to lose the game. What I didn't expect was 31 points by the Jags. That's what I didn't expect. And I'm willing to bet that that's not what Belichick expected either. So look, I don't mind a dumbed-down game plan offensively.
So go take a chance on defense. To get a chance on offense. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so like, again, to me, I still think that ultimately, in the long run, their success more often than not is going to be determined by how their defense plays. Because I think Brady at this stage, Brady's a known commodity. And the offense in a key spot is probably going to come through if Brady has any sort of weapons whatsoever. But yesterday, I think they dumbed the whole thing down and thought, well, look, if we're going to win this game, we're going to have to win it 20-17. We're not going to get 35 points against these guys without Edelman, with receivers on the outside who are still trying to figure it out, with a new right tackle, a new left tackle. Like, I just think they went into the whole thing and said, who are we kidding? This team wants us. They're waiting for us. It's their home opener. They're still pissed off about last year. We're going to have a hard time scoring. But defensively, we should be able to stay in the game. Maybe we can steal it. And they couldn't stay there.
So that's a big issue. I agree.
To me, that was the takeaway is, Mike, offensively, Jacksonville sucks. That offense, I know that their point totals last year were higher than people gave them credit for, but I think a lot of that was done by the defense. They drove the ball down the field yesterday and scored.
Blake Bortles picked you apart.
I mean, that was...
Picked you apart.
So it was a very well-schemed attack. They got mismatches with their running backs and their tight ends. Their wide receivers made a couple of ridiculous plays. But to me, they exploited the Patriots defensively. They really exploited them. And that I did not see coming. Blake Bortles is as average gets, if that. I mean, he's really below average. And, you know, you take away... Would you have said Moncrief and Keelan Cole are going to be the guys that light up the Patriots?
I don't even know who Keelan Cole was.
Or Corey Grant?
Until yesterday. Grant's a bad man.
So I like Grant, too.
And Grant's a nasty little player.
And he hurt him in that game last year as well. Like, they use him right against the Patriots. But the whole thing I looked at and said defensively, ooh, for Jacksonville to take it to him on offense like that, that was discouraging to me.
No question. This is just a quick aside to feed my own itch, but it just shows you how stupid the Jaguars or any team are for drafting a running back high. They were better off without Leonard Fournette in that game yesterday. Better off. Grant and Yeldon, much rather have that duo than Leonard Fournette. Or at least I'd rather have the first round pick to use on a real player at a real position that matters in the league, as opposed to running backs, which you can get from anywhere. And oh, by the way, they're more dynamic with Yeldon and Grant. Those players hurt you more than Leonard Fournette would. So it just shows you, if they had used that, was Fournette fourth overall, Murray?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh my God, what a waste. Then they got another pass rusher or another guy on defense or a receiver for that offense or anything, really anything. Offensive lineman. And you could just use those two backup running backs, they're better off. And they were better off yesterday because they weren't tempted to turn around and just hand it to the load. For what? To control the clock? Like, ridiculous. Example number 4,000, running backs. Give me a break. But again, that's just a personal itch. Sorry.
Clearly.
I think you played into it. They played great. And so there's that early season hiccup. They'll probably have another. The long-term implications on defense, I'm with you, Maz. That's another thing I don't have an answer for. And, I wonder if they have an answer for, and just what you're dealing with on that side of the ball. Is it going to be the same old we've seen here the last 3-4 years? I mean, it's still been good enough to get to the Super Bowl, nearly win the thing. They won the thing against Atlanta, but that is not a championship caliber defense. It doesn't look that way.
No, I mean, that's the part to me that is most discouraging, is all the stuff that was there last year showed up again yesterday.
And Josh Gordon, I'm sorry. I guess it's no risk. I guess you have nothing to lose. I just think Josh Gordon, that is a move made by a bad and or desperate team. And I don't think you're either. I don't think you should be either. And I just don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work. The guy's showing up late under questionable circumstances just 2 days ago. It's not like these problems are in the past. The guy has not been able to stay sober. You know, at first it was just he couldn't lay off the weed, which to me I find even the most troubling, because that's not even like addictive. It's just you're being a jack. You can't stop being a jackass. But then, you know, it's revealed he's got all sorts of other problems. Drinking before games, getting high before games, every game as a matter of routine. And that's just how he played his whole career. Now he finally got back in the league and he's blowing off or showing up late on Saturday. And they're saying he's not looking like himself with mysterious injuries after going to events the night before. Oh yeah, let's pick up that guy. Really? It's that bad. It's that bad where you got to go take a chance on that guy.
I mean, to me, again, I default back to the offseason now. Because, again, with all the stuff going on with Brady, they let Amendola go via free agency. They trade Cooks to the point where you looked at it and said, boy, are they giving away too much here? Like, have they taken too much away from the offense? Solder walks. They bring in a new left tackle. Like, now you got Waddle playing right tackle because of issues with Cannon. The whole thing, you know, Deion Lewis goes, all of it. You look at it all. And then now they're going out and trying to pick up any receiver they can off the street. Man, it's like, I go back to, like, did the dysfunction that was going on there, how bad did it screw them up over the year? Because it feels like they just would not.
Well, no, he thought that he was going to have Malcolm Mitchell and he wouldn't have to deal with that knee injury and he'd come back. Nope, whiffed on that. Same with Kenny Britt, whiffed on that. Same with Jordan Matthews, whiffed on that. So they screwed up the position. So, yes, I think that they are this desperate that they have to make a move like this.
Oh, they're definitely desperate.
Okay, so I've been bashing the move for the last, you know, couple hours, whatever. Murray and Maz like it. Why do you like it?
Upside. Just upside. Take a chance. And I'm assuming it's not going to cost them much. Look, the salary's low, which they wouldn't be making the deal if the guy had a big contract anyway. They'd wait for him to hit the street and get him for nothing. So to me, if it's anything more than a fifth, and even that feels high. Like, I would say
conditional seventh.
Something like that. But the only reason I say fifth is because I got to believe there's someone out there that would take this guy.
Well, so didn't, right, in one of the Rappaport thing that we played earlier, didn't he say they were going to release him, but teams got involved?
Yes.
They were just going to cut the guy. And that's a sucky, desperate team. And even they, even the Browns, who gave Josh Gordon how many chances? Six, seven, eight, untold number of chances? Even the Browns, who haven't won in 2+ years and can't get out of their own way, or however long it's been since they've won, even they said, enough. Enough of this guy. And that's what you're bringing in. And that guy's going to get on the same page with Tom Brady?
Yeah, I got no problem with it. Because, again, he's that talented. Granted, he's only played 11 games in the last 5 years, but I think it's that desperate. I think he's that talented. And I'm trying to pull this sound. Apparently, Troy Brown on Tutcher and Rich in his weekly appearance this morning said he's the most talented wide receiver he's seen since Randy Moss. So roll the dice. It's a low-risk move. It's $790,000 on the books. I get it. They're probably in on him because of the cost as well. What the hell you got to lose? If he's a knucklehead, he shows up hammered again, you cut him.
You just want his weed, Murray. Let's be honest.
He's stronger than Moss. This kid's a monster. He's a specimen, this kid.
Okay, the Patriots lost yesterday in Jacksonville. You want to weigh in? Josh Gordon to the Patriots. And again, I'll just say for the point of clarity that Rappaport tweeted this out about an hour ago, and there's been no follow-up. So just take that for what it's worth. There's been no follow-up. There hasn't even been a shoot-it-down sort of thing, right?
Nope, nothing.
No one's shooting it down. No one's confirming. So that is what we call a dangling Gordon, and that is sort of floating out there. We'll see if Rap is right. We'll talk about both these items with you right after this.
Felger and Mazz, the Sports Hub. Felger and Mazz.
I love it.
You were right, Mazz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Third and four as the Patriots huddle. Ball's placed down in the near hash, the right hash of the 26. Patterson in motion right to left. Brady takes the snap. He backs up and screens it left for Patterson. Makes the catch and then he toppled over. He lost his balance and fell at the 28-yard line. He was eventually touched up there by DJ Hayden. Missed opportunity for the Patriots.
Thinking too much. He's out there in space.
On that play, you got to wonder if McDaniels and Patterson had dipped into some of Josh Gordon's weed. What the hell was that play? The key part of the game. That was right in the middle of the Jaguars giving you the game. Fumble, drop, three and out, interception. You got the ball deep in their territory, a chance to make it, I think, a six-point game. Third and, I think, like five in field goal range, and you run that little dipsy-doo play to Patterson in the flat. And I hated the play call. Even though he was sort of alone out there and only had one man to beat, he was facing Brady. He wasn't facing downhill the line of scrimmage, and I don't know if it was intended to be that way, but he still would have had to twist his body and sort of wind up and get going again before he started running. It's like he was running towards the line of scrimmage.
He would have to act like a real wide receiver, which he is not. He's a gimmick player, a return man. So, I wasn't shocked at all. I hated the play call. I'm with you on that, but I wasn't shocked that that was the outcome.
And then, Murray, you furthermore hated the fact that they kicked the field goal there versus going for it.
I did. You know, they're playing with their head barely above water the whole game. And the fact that, look, and Gostkowski ended up hitting it, but he had missed the 54-yarder. It was a 46. At the time, it felt iffy. I was like, just go. Just go for it.
It was the second play of the fourth quarter, so it was 15-40, 15-50 left or something like that. If they had gone for a touchdown, it would have made it 24-17 instead of 24-13, and you never really climbed any closer than that. So maybe that's one of the reasons that what happened today is what happened today, and we have an update on the Josh Gordon situation.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I love it. Hit that twice for the same story. Love it.
As first reported by Ian Rappaport of NFL Network about an hour ago, the Patriots were closing in on a trade for Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon. Adam Schefter following up just minutes ago. The trade has now been agreed to. The Patriots are sending Cleveland a fifth-round draft pick. And if Josh Gordon is not active for 10 games, the Patriots will get back a late-round pick from the Browns, but the trade is now official. A fifth rounder for Josh Gordon.
Okay, Mavs said fifth rounder earlier, so pretty good job there, Mavs.
I mean, I just didn't think it could be higher than that. And if there were other teams involved, you're not getting them for a seventh. You're probably not getting them for a sixth. Like, so I just took a guess. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? But even then, like Murray was saying this a second ago, let's just use the Niners as an example. right? They lost Marquise Hill, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that was not Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah, that's what
Marquise Hill's the guy with the Jags.
They lost Goodwin yesterday?
No, he was done before the year, right before the season, or it was game one. Either the final preseason, end of the preseason, but he's gone. They need a wide receiver. And so, like, if you're San Francisco and you offer a fifth, your fifth's going to be higher than the Patriots' fifth. So, like, they could have easily had him. They want nothing to do with him. And I don't know, maybe in some ways that makes sense because San Francisco says, we're not winning the Super Bowl this year anyway. Why introduce this guy into our environment? Whereas the Patriots are looking at it and saying, we got to maximize every year with Brady now. Which is why I'm so mystified about the whole roster management. Like, you keep Brady, you let Garoppolo go, and then you take away all his weapons? You know, no Amendola, no Brandon Cooks, Deion Lewis goes, you let your left tackle walk, you let all of that happen. And then you go out and get Josh Gordon because you're desperate? It just feels like they're chasing their tail. You tell me, but
I'm stunned that Dallas wasn't in on him, considering how thin their wide receiver core is.
That's how desperate you are that you were willing to take give up something for this guy, and Dallas wasn't. What does that say?
It'd be a tough one to sell in Dallas, though, wouldn't it?
How so?
Why?
Or you let one A-hole go and bring in another?
In Dallas, they don't care.
They'll bring in anyone. They brought in Greg Hardy. They drafted Randy Gregory. They have nothing there. Tavon Austin shows up out of nowhere having a game last night. I was stunned that they weren't in on him. I'm glad they weren't. A fifth rounder, that's nothing. Make the deal. I'm glad he's here. Need something? Give me a call, Josh.
Ain't gonna work. And I wonder, did they test him over the weekend? Because he showed up late. That's why Cleveland got rid of him. Showed up late on Saturday for a team walkthrough or a team practice, not looking like himself, according to reports, and with a mysterious hamstring injury from a, quote, appearance the night before. What was it, Murray? An appearance?
Promotional appearance.
Promotional appearance the night before. So, like, I don't know. I mean, do we know that he's even made it through the weekend? Clean?
Yes. Well, there's some updates here from Schefter saying that new Patriots wide receiver Josh Gordon healthy enough from his strained hamstring to play Sunday against the Lions, per source. That's good. And we have the full compensation trade update. Patriots sending the Browns a 2019 fifth-round pick for Gordon. They'll get back that 2019 seventh-round pick if he's not active for those 10 games. The trade was supposed to be for a sixth-round pick, but the Patriots don't have a sixth.
Okay, so they got to go to the fifth.
Oh, God. Excellent.
Please, ridiculous. Andrew and Attleboro. Go ahead, Andrew.
Felger, I love you guys. Whatever. Don't brush me off. You are the height of hypocrisy here. You have been railing. You won't even pronounce their names properly. Cordero, Patterson, this and that. Every receiver, you're saying how weak we are in the wide receiver position. Look, I don't condone the pot-sming. He's trouble, but we might need him to win a Super Bowl. And, you know, your old-time football that you love, those guys were all drunks. They're all pill poppers. Like, where's the disconnect here?
Okay, so his pill popping and addictions and whatnot are his problem, are his thing. And that's not even my issue here, that he's got those problems, is that they're now your problems. And I just want them to have functional football players. And this guy's not. And so now you're assuming those problems. And I don't know why they need to do that. I don't think they need to do that. A fifth-round pick for that? A fifth-round pick for all of those issues when you all said they're going 12-4, 13-3 either way. So why are you assuming all that risk when you're going to be in the AFC title game either way? And you never heard me, for all the receiver problems, say that I'm a yes on Josh Gordon. I said, I changed my mind a couple times. I went back and forth. I was yes on Dez Bryant at various points. You ever hear me say yes to Josh Gordon?
No.
I drew the line at Josh Gordon. I drew the line at 5-6 suspensions, being drunk and or high for every game the guy's ever played, not being able to keep his job for 5-plus years. That's where I drew the line, on that fella. Yep. So I'm not a hypocrite. I never said yes on Josh Gordon.
Well, maybe all it took was for people to see yesterday's game and that it's a collection of mostly junk at wide receiver for people to change their minds or get easily twisted into saying, yes, I like Josh Gordon and all his problems.
Here's Scott in Maine. Your thoughts, Scott. Scott.
Michael, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay. Listen, yesterday's loss by the Patriots was a typical September loss, 97 to blah, 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 blah. Who cares? They will be fine. Josh Gordon, I don't like baggage, That's the only thing. Now, listen, we can sign him for this, that, keep him at a low salary, fine. But this type of guy, I'm not sure what he brings to the locker room.
I'm with you, Scott, especially at that position, too. Like, the big fancy outside receiver, like, I've never been that guy. I don't need that guy. They don't need that guy. Brady doesn't need that guy. How about a guy that gets open over the middle and catches 7-yard balls on third down to move the chains?
Amendola?
That's all I want. Yep. Yep. And I agree with 1,000%. I said it at the time that they missed on Amendola, that they should have re-signed him. The money he got in Miami was not, a lot of people around here will say, well, that's too much money. It's not. It was $6 million guaranteed over 2 years. I think it was 2 years, $12 million. Only six was guaranteed. So $3 million guaranteed over the 2 years, each of the 2 years, for what he meant to Brady in big spots? You're kidding me. That's too much?
Yeah, all right, so they've screwed this whole thing up. So they're now just trying to, you know, put it together with patchwork. Josh Gordon is that patchwork. And when you say that Brady doesn't need anyone like this or any other additional help, what about the fact, and this stat was from Boston Sports Inf earlier today, through the first two games, Brady's attempted 31 passes to wide receivers for a .187. It's his lowest passing output targeting wide receivers through two games since 2006. 2006, when he had junk at that position.
So go get me Brandon Tate. Go get me.
Oh, please.
You mean Golden Tate.
Golden Tate. Go get me Golden Tate. I'm sorry. I don't mean Brandon Tate. Go get me Golden Tate. Go get me Larry Fitzgerald. Go get me a guy like that that I know is going to show up and play hard and go over the middle and catch the ball and be there every Saturday, as opposed to some promotional event where he shows up late the next day not looking like himself with some sort of phantom injury.
So this is where the cost comes into this whole thing. And if you want to get on him for that, well, then, you know, you got a case. Because, what, would Golden Tate be $7 million on the books for this year?
Yep, something like that.
And Larry Fitzgerald, I'm sure, is making a mountain of money. Josh Gordon, $790,000.
So all of a sudden now you're their accountant? Like, what do you care?
I don't.
What they pay a guy?
No, I don't. I'd rather Golden Tate than Josh Gordon. I really would.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Murray's going to work for Ernst & Young.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he's concerned about their margins.
Yeah. Deloitte and Touche.
Ernst & Dumb.
The very latest on Josh Gordon to the Patriots. It is official, as long as you consider Adam Schefter official. He's coming here again. Time to hide your stashes, because here comes Josh Gordon, the very latest right here.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Cleveland going left to right from the 20. Short set by Campbell. Quick throw on the slant to Gordon. He's going to try to run away from Tlaib. Across the 40-yard line. Goodbye. Yeah. Peeling away to the 20. He's on his way coasting into the end zone. High-stepping to a Cleveland score. 80 yards for Josh Gordon.
That's a man right there.
I think Jim Murray remembers that one. Been fantasizing about that for a while. When the hell was that?
2013. He was abusing Aqib Talib in that game.
2013?
Yep.
Was that Soucy on the call? I was just coming back here from the restroom.
Yeah, Soucy's first year.
Been here 5 years?
Yeah.
I know, unbelievable, right?
Okay, well, since then, in the 5 years since then, he's played 11 games. 11.
Yeah, things happen.
11 games. Shall we do a little Josh Gordon timeline? Let's just do this. Josh Gordon timeline. Let's go back. Let's start here. And I'm just looking at something from Sporting News. Under the heading of Disgraced Athletes in Sports. October 7th, 2010. Gordon, then a sophomore at Baylor, is found asleep at in the passenger seat of a car belonging to teammate Willie Jefferson, who also is found passed out outside of a, Murray?
Liquor store.
Murray?
Dispensary?
No.
Nightclub?
Taco Bell, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of a Taco Bell.
Those cheesy gordita crunches.
Yeah, both Gordon and Jefferson were cited on misdemeanor drug possession charges after marijuana was found in the car. Jefferson was kicked off the team, while charges were later dropped against Gordon because obviously Gordon was better than Jefferson. So Jefferson got cut, Gordon kept going. July 25th, 2011, Gordon is suspended indefinitely from the program by Baylor for violation of team rules. Do you know what kind of cretin you have to be to get suspended by Baylor? Do you understand just where that bar is?
Oh, no, that's down there.
It is subterranean, that bar.
Yeah, no, it's underground, yeah.
For you
below sea level.
For you to be suspended by Baylor, do you understand what sort of cretin you have to be? It was reported later that Gordon had failed a drug test, showed up positive for marijuana. August of 2011, Gordon decides to transfer from Baylor to Utah. Oh, yeah, they're much more forgiving about that stuff in Utah.
He's looking for purity in his life.
We felt he deserved a second chance, and we gave him that. This is 2011. the Utah coach said at the time. Before missing the deadline, Gordon had thought about entering the NFL supplemental draft that summer. He would not play a down for Utah. In 2012,
he turned down BYU too.
Gordon gets into the NFL supplemental draft. The Browns use a second round pick to select him. Signs a contract in 2012. In 2012, he plays all 16 games for the Browns, starts 13, has an impressive rookie season. June 2013, Gordon draws his first NFL suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy. He is forced to miss the Browns' first two games of the season. November, December of 2013 becomes the first NFL player to post consecutive 200-yard receiving games, ripping the Steelers for 237 and then racking up 261 against the Jaguars.
He had 498 receiving yards in back-to-back games.
High as a kite, as it turns out. In December of that year, he gets named to the Pro Bowl. In July of 2014, that offseason, Gordon is arrested for suspicion of driving while impaired in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's reported that Gordon was speeding and had a blood alcohol content of 0.09 above the legal limit. In August of 14, Gordon draws his second NFL suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy, this time for one full season. September of 14, Gordon has his suspension reduced to 10 games under the NFL's new policy. November of that year, Gordon is reinstated. That week, in his first game, he burns the Falcons for 8 catches and 120 receiving yards. That's November of 2014, after being suspended 10 games on his second NFL suspension, but been given a landline, Murray, or a lifeline, because they changed the rules and they knocked it down from a full season to 10 games. So he gets to come back that year on his second suspension, has a good first game. December of that year, Gordon is suspended by the Browns for one game, their season finale, for violation of team rules. January of that year, Gordon faces a second year-long NFL suspension after testing positive for alcohol use. February, Gordon is suspended by the NFL for 1 year again without pay and isn't eligible to return until the beginning of the 2016 season. In January of 16, Gordon applies for reinstatement. In April, Gordon's petition for reinstatement is denied because of
alcohol.
Another failed drug test.
Oh.
So now he's been suspended 3 times. He gets whacked for a second full season. He petitions to for reinstatement. The league considers it, says, okay, we'll consider your reinstatement. Here's a drug test. And he fails. July of 2016, Gordon is reinstated by the NFL under the condition he can participate in training camp but remains suspended for the first 4 games of the regular season. September, Gordon decides to enter a rehab facility rather than try to return from his latest suspension. So good for him on that one. August 30th of 2016, Gordon is released from rehab after 30 days but remains on the NFL's suspended list. In March of 2017, you want me to keep going?
Sure.
Gordon applies for reinstatement again. March of 2017, GM Sashi Brown declares the team hasn't ruled out bringing back Gordon whenever he is reinstated. In May of 2017, Gordon's latest petition for reinstatement is denied by the NFL. Then in November of 2017, Gordon is reinstated to the NFL on a conditional basis with a chance to return to play for the Browns in Week 13. He's officially activated in November of 2017. He plays December 3rd of 2017, plays December 10th of 2017, plays December 31st of 2017. And then in 2018, Gordon is signed to a 1-year, $790,000 contract by the Browns, which is what you are getting him on. Let me just look. Clean from that time he signs that contract in 2018 until this weekend. Gordon is ruled out for week 2, September 15th, 2018, Friday. Gordon is ruled out for week 2 in New Orleans with a hamstring injury despite not missing practice all week. Gordon reportedly injured himself in a non-team photo shoot. And the NFL Network also reported the Browns had trust issues related to his showing up late on Saturday.
It was a slippery floor.
And so then he's traded today. So
the Browns had trust issues.
So I wonder why. So it's not like, you understand you're getting him fresh off another thing here where he shows up late. Mary Kay Cabot reported the Browns look at him and he doesn't look like himself or isn't acting like himself. Shows up late on Saturday with a mysterious hamstring injury that he suffered at a promotional event. So this is how you're getting the guy. I mean, I want to know, has he been tested this weekend? Like, did he get through the weekend okay?
So, you know, the quote-unquote hamstring issue is no hamstring issue,
probably
right?
Not.
I mean, there is no hamstring issue. he probably showed up and said, I can't play because he was impaired again, and he made up the hamstring thing. That'd be my guess after you rattled off that
list. If he's impaired, he's got to be tested out the yin-yang every other day. So I would like to think he wasn't impaired or if he's been tested.
So look, after you rattle all that off, okay, I would take a shot. There's no real negative for them other than the fifth round pick that they will give up, which will actually be less if he doesn't play. But what percent would I give of this a chance of working? One.
I was going to say five. I mean, I was going to at least give it a 1 in 10, like a 5 to 10% chance.
I mean, when you rattle off that list, this guy can't keep it together. He can't. I mean, I hope he does because they could use him.
So look,
he'll never make it.
Like even for himself, I know I see this guy just completely implode. Like I know I'm not on a personal level. I hope he makes it. But even if he makes it, like and shows up and stays clean, now he's got to learn the offense. What sort of guarantee is there of that? And again, you know that Cleveland Browns offense was a scratch and sniff, like color coded simple offense, and he has barely played in 5 years. Now you got to pick up this thing and get this quarterback's trust? Never mind keeping your nose clean, which he's never been able to do.
I mean, how do you think Brady feels about this?
Thank you for getting me some talent. About damn time.
I think he's saying we just couldn't have given Amendola a few bucks.
You can start with that.
See, that's what I think, Murray. I think he looks at it and goes, so this is what we're doing now. This is our solution. A guy who can't keep it together and has played, what did you say, 11 games in 5 years?
Yes.
11 games in 5 years.
It's for a fifth round pick.
So no.
Do you know how much? Do you know what an overpay that is for a guy who's been suspended? What was that? 4 or 5 times, has failed how many tests and has played 5 games in? It's played. I'm sorry, 11 games in 5 years to give up a fifth round pick for that. Do you know how expensive that was? What other player fails that many drug tests? Shows up to work hammered that many times?
Oh, it speaks talent. Level.
Plays that few games over 5 years and gets a fifth round pick. I feel that price is exorbitant for that track, for that resume I just read you.
I mean, a fifth is high. I mean, it's high.
How's that guy still in the league?
Well, as Schefter reported, it was supposed to be for a sixth, but the Patriots didn't have a sixth, so they had to give the fifth.
Isn't that unreal?
Oh, my Lord.
That's unreal. Like they had to pay more than they wanted to.
I promise. Your reaction right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josh Gordon's situation is something that, of course, has fascinated us really for the last several days, and I'm told it is coming to a close. The New England Patriots right now are close on a deal to acquire Browns receiver Josh Gordon. It is not done yet. But my understanding is it is headed that way. They have not yet contacted Gordon, for instance, but that call should be coming. Now, for the Browns, this is a situation where, remember, they announced pretty publicly on Saturday night, they were going to release Josh Gordon. At that point, teams started calling. They realized they had a trade market for him, and at that point, they simply sat back, watched all the offers come in. There were a lot of interested teams. The Patriots, though, took an interest from the very beginning, and again, not done yet, but I'm told it is headed that way. Very possible that Josh Gordon becomes a member of the New England Patriots.
And it's now been confirmed. That was the original report from Ian Rappaport at around 3 o'clock. So it's now official. Josh Gordon, one of the most punished players in the history of the league. I mean, I'm just saying that. I don't know who could be more. It's like, you old-timers, the only guy I can compare it to, you know who I'm thinking of, Maz, don't you, in baseball? Do you remember Steve Howe?
Oh, of course, yes. I think he gets suspended like 7 times.
It's something outrageous. He couldn't.
Oh, great one.
Just a raging drug problem, and he just... suspension after suspension and reinstatement after reinstatement. Like, that's, I can't think of another guy that compares. That was a million years for our younger demo. You never heard of the guy, but that was like in the 80s, I want to say.
Yeah,
maybe even the 70s.
He even pitched in the 90s for the Yankees, I think.
Yeah, so the 80s then. Either way, like it's that kind of case. And he's your newest Patriot.
That's a great one. That's a great analogy.
Thank you. How do you feel about that? Mike and Woburn, go ahead.
I want to call in to celebrate the greatest 20 minutes in this show's history.
basically within 20 minutes, we not only got Josh Gordon, but you hung up on Carlton. So I just wanted to give you a high five. That was just excellent work by you. And also, Mike, congratulations on joining the 700 Club. Can you sound more pretentious about Josh Gordon? Mike, I seem to recall a time in previous history where you may have been a person of interest on Nantucket when there was a little pot going around the island. Is that would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, but I've always been able to show up to work, Mike.
Okay, all right. But, you know, and so has Jim, and he's all over this deal, and he's going to deal with surge pricing as soon as this guy gets here. Like, honestly, you guys blew it by turning that 30 pounds of weed into the cops, because that was Josh Gordon for interviews for the rest of the season, guaranteed. By the way, based on your track record of not liking deals where this team gives away shekels for a wide receiver, I am loving where this is going for the Patriots this season.
I don't even know what you're referring to there.
But you hated the Moss trade, too. Despised it.
And I was right.
And you were right. Randy Moss had, like, a billion receiving yards and was one of the greatest wideouts, had one of the greatest seasons a wideout has ever had.
Neat. Congratulations on all his yards. He ruined you as a team. You lost your soul. You weren't the same for 3 or 4 years.
This guy makes Randy Moss look like Jerry Rice, crying out loud, in terms of work ethic. Like, this one's not even close. Like, when you really look at it, when you rattled off that list and you hear it like that, this guy went from 2014 to 2017 without playing a game. He missed two full seasons.
No, I mean, like, and like, really, you know, the cases where he'd be suspended, then they'd peel back the suspension and consider your reinstatement. Okay, we're going to, you know, and he would apply for reinstatement. They'd say, okay, we're going to consider your reinstatement. Go for a drug test. He'd go for the drug test and he'd fail. They suspend him for a whole year, and then because of the CBA change, they change the rules from the full season to 10 games, so he gets a lifeline, and he gets a comeback in week 11. Fails a test. Like, just time and time and time again. Which, it doesn't make him a bad person, it means he has a problem. But now it's your problem. And for what? For what? Derek in Foxborough. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, Felger, you're so wrong about this. I mean, this guy had 1,600 yards with Jason freaking Campbell throwing him the ball. Imagine what he's going to do with Tom Brady.
5 years and ago, even Derek.
It was about five, but even this year, yeah, I don't know if you saw week one, he had a nice 20-yard touchdown on this little fade route to the end zone from Tyrod Taylor. I mean, he's never played with an elite quarterback.
Yeah, if he passes his tests and shows up, never mind learns the offense. People are discounting that, too.
It was Jason Campbell, too, by the way. I thought it was McCown. But you know who else was on that team?
Brandon Weeden.
Hoyer.
I'm not arguing about the guy's talent. Like, you haven't heard me say one thing about it. The guy's a beast. Or he was. Absolute beast. Specimen. Just ridiculous. I'm not disputing that. The guy hasn't been able to show up to work. He hasn't been able to keep his job.
So, I mean, I told you, I'd roll the dice here if I were the Patriots, because I do think they're desperate.
And again, never mind that now he's got to learn the offense and sort of do it in this system. I don't know. Good luck. Nothing to lose, but good luck. I don't think it's going to work. Billy in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, folks, I had something else, but this Josh Gordon story is bigger. So I just want to make a comment on it. I can hear the conversation right now with Belichick. How fast can you run 50 yards, whether we send you on a fly pattern or a slant, and take out the defender, defensive back, and a safety? That's all we want you to do. And he probably remarked 5.8 seconds, but I can do 5.5 if I'm wearing PF flyers. That's all they want this guy for, is to take up two guys, get them off their back, and they can go to some of their other people. That's my opinion. I'll listen.
Okay. We take the top off the defense.
Well, no. Maybe because of his talent, he draws more coverage, and that frees up Gronk.
Well, I mean, all that's obvious. Like, he's got to... But first of all, he's got to be able to...
So how's that a bad thing?
Well, but it's just... I don't think he'll do it. First of all, he's got to stay sober. Then he's got to show up to work on time. Then he's got to learn the offense. Then he's got to earn Brady's trust. And then he's got to show the defense that they're actually going to throw to him. Okay, so now if you go 5 for 5, then, you know, we'll see. Let's see. And then he's got to do it the next week. And then he's got to do it the next week. And then he's got to do it the next week. Reading his timeline and his history, he hasn't been able to make it more than a year without running into something.
See, to me, that's a part of it that I think, like, I hear the caller say, all you got to do is attract two defenders. Why would you commit two defenders to this guy right now? He hasn't played in 5 years. And so to me, the question is, can he beat a guy one-on-one and can he do it consistently? If that happens, then he's got value.
He beat two in that touchdown that the caller was referring to against Pittsburgh just in week one.
Okay.
He's got the talent to do it.
So again, can he do it consistently, Murray?
Yeah, we'll see. Fifth round pick.
Now I told you, about fifth round picks.
Yeah, but Murray, I'm not arguing with the trade. Or the acquisition of the player. I'm just telling you that I don't think it's a slam dunk that this. I think this thing has a low percentage of working too. That's why it only
based on the history. Yeah, you're likely to be right, but I think it's just worth making because the talent's there.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on this and game thoughts from yesterday after Murray's update. Here's the latest details on the Josh Gordon trade to the Patriots. That's right, that happened today. No commercials, just the update. Then we're right back.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.